From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Let us today go down to Bethlehem, and in company with wondering shepherds and adoring magi, let us see him who was born King of the Jews, for we by faith can claim an interest in him, and can sing, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Jesus is Jehovah incarnate, our Lord and our God, and yet our brother and friend. Let us adore and admire. Let us notice at the very first glance his miraculous conception. It was a thing unheard of before, and unparalleled since, that a virgin should conceive and bear a son. The first promise ran thus, the seed of the woman, not the offspring of the man. Since venturous woman led the way in the sin which brought forth paradise lost, she and she alone ushers in the regainer of paradise. Our Savior, although truly man, was as to his human nature the Holy One of God. Let us reverently bow before the Holy Child, whose innocence restores to manhood its ancient glory, and let us pray that he may be formed in us the hope of glory. Fail not to note his humble parentage. His mother has been described simply as a virgin, not a princess or prophetess, nor a matron of large estate. True, the blood of kings ran in her veins, nor was her mind a weak and untaught one, for she could sing most sweetly a song of praise. But yet how humble her position, how poor the man to whom she stood affianced, and how miserable the accommodation afforded to the newborn king. Emmanuel, God with us in our nature, in our sorrow, in our life work, in our punishment, in our grave, and now with us, or rather, we with him, in resurrection, ascension, triumph, and second advent splendor.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. Let the Bible Speak pray that at this Christmas season, your heart will rejoice in the truth of God manifest in the flesh. Our prayer is that you may know God's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his final message in this series in the Law of God, expounding the meaning of the 10th commandment, Thou shalt not covet. As we've seen, this commandment prohibits longing after something God has placed out of bounds, particularly that which belongs to someone else. Dr. Cairns will emphasize that this commandment exhorts us to learn Christian contentment. Happiness does not come from things, but from holiness of life. Now to continue this message on the 10th commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
We must be honest that we are living in a society that bombards the mind to induce immoral thinking. This is a country whose engine runs on the gas of immorality. You can turn nowhere. There is not a part of this city that you can go to. There is not a shop that you can visit, but that somewhere along the line you will be bombarded with the inducements of the devil and of the world to immoral thinking. This is the philosophy of the age, that this is good, this is indeed even therapeutic, this is a release, this is healthful and helpful, this is a growing experience. This is what makes you an entire person. And of course, it's not wrong. But God says that the immoral thought or desire may titillate the hidden desire for what God has forbidden, what belongs to another, or what may be ours only by some evil means, may seem like harmless dreaming, but God says it is sin. Indeed, He terms it idolatry. And in the Word of God, He links it with the most heinous wickednesses and crimes of which men are capable. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, you will read, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." Now here's a list of great crimes. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." The effeminate and the abusers of mankind are descriptions of the Sodomite people and practice. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." That's where God places the secret thought, the desire of sin. Now, where is the person who can take this 10th commandment in his hand, look at it in all honesty, and not drop his head in shame? Where is the man who can take this 10th commandment and say, "I thank God I am not as other men"? Where is the one who does not stand indicted as a foul and guilty sinner, vile and unclean in the sight of God? This 10th commandment reveals the abysmal depths of our sinful state. Even when we try to clean up our behavior, we're unclean. In the words of Wesley, "Vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of grace and truth." This law of God drags out every motion of the soul of man and holds it up to the light of God. To use the expression of Genesis 6 verse 5, God sees that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. And that's the depth of our depravity. That depravity corrupts our very being. It pollutes everything we say and do. It scars every relationship we have on earth. It desecrates even our holiest attempts to worship God. It bars the road to heaven.
ground that fits the soul for hell. In the words of a 17th century Dutch theologian, if we measure by the outside, the Pharisee looks like a saint. But if we survey from the inside, the best of saints is worthy of hell. This is a commandment that shows us just how depraved and sinful we really are. But it goes further. For depravity does not lessen responsibility. Our depravity has ruined our ability to establish righteousness by our works before God, but it has not lessened our responsibility. And so therefore the text not only shows us the depth of our depravity, but the extent of our duty. In the light of all that I've said, when it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or thy neighbor's possessions, what the Lord is saying is it's our duty to bring every thought and every affection under the control of the Word of God. It's saying do not indulge even the thought of sin. When that thought comes, this is the crucial stage and this is where we lose many a battle. When that thought from some external source is injected into the mind, do not nurse that thought into a desire. That's what God is saying. As I said, that desire may lead to wicked action, but it may not. But it's still corrupting. Worldly psychologists will argue the point. They see little or no danger in the basest of practices. They even applaud the liberating results of an interest in pornography. You will get some idiotic counselor who will tell a wife that it will actually help her marriage if she just accepts her husband's addiction to pornographic film. God says otherwise. Bring every thought and every affection under the control of God's Spirit and God's Word. Thou shalt not. But positively, it means learn Christian contentment in the enjoyment of all that God has given His people in Christ. Think of what He has given us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has given us, according to Peter, all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Lord Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and of His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Paul therefore could say, rejoice in the Lord always. Because in Christ we have all that we need for life, all that we need for happiness, all that we need for time, all we need for eternity. And here's a great discovery. It's true of everybody. Happiness does not come from things. Happiness does not come from possessions. Happiness does not come from the circumstances that are so attractive to the eyes of the flesh. Happiness comes from holiness. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:5-6 that men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth suppose that gain is godliness. That's the corrupt mind. If I could just get enough money, then I could live right. Can't afford to live right when I'm poor, but I could live right if I were rich. If I could just make a little more, then I'd be content. God says, no, no. You've got it the wrong way round. Don't ever think that gain will lead to godliness. Gain never leads to godliness. You may be godly after you have gained, but it will either be because you were godly before you gained, or because of grace overcoming in your life after you've gained. But gain in itself will never produce godliness. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's why he wrote to the Hebrews in chapter 13 and 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, because he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Learn Christian contentment in the enjoyment of all God has given you in Christ. That's why we were singing those hymns tonight, or that hymn, and had our brother Gene sing the other. It's the Lord Jesus who only is the rich wealth and possession of our soul. It is Christ who is precious to a believing heart. And as we enjoy Him, we will be content. When it says, "Thou shalt not covet," it's saying positively, love and serve the Lord from your heart. As I've been trying to prove, this is a commandment that emphasizes heart obedience. It calls us not only to avoid evil and do good, but to do it from the heart. That's how you get saved. Romans 6:17, "God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." And now that you're saved, as Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 6, "as the servants of God, do the will of God from the heart." Or as he tells the Colossians, "whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord." That's what it means when it says, "thou shalt not covet." Love and serve the Lord with all your heart.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.